What is the shadow? Well, Carl Jung coined that term, shadow, as describing those hidden, unconscious aspects of ourselves that we kind of reject or deny or hide. And why do we do that? Well, we do that because we were early on shown that expressing those aspects of ourselves is not okay. I don't know, a few years ago, my sister told me in one of our more heated discussions that I have an anger issue. And I was absolutely taken aback. Me, Friedemann, which means man of peace translated, an anger issue? No, that's not possible. But when I thought more about it, I realized, yes, anger is an issue for me because I suppressed anger. See, anger is something that I believed was wrong. It was a sign of negativity, a sign of wanting to harm others rather than getting along with each other. And I didn't really understand anger as something helpful, useful, maybe a little signal that told me, hey, something is not wrong. You should speak up on your behalf, or you should have boundaries, or maybe you should push back when it feels like that, you know, some people are infringing on you. So I just didn't say nothing. Just suppressed it, kept it at bay. My image of myself was this, you know, relaxed, compassionate, fully understanding, Zen, whatever, monk. But I was not, because deep inside there was a part of me that saw everything that wasn't right. And every time when I was bending over backwards for others and not really standing up for myself, and that part of me, that anger part of me, just became more and more red until it exploded. And that day it exploded into the face of my sister, and so that's how she came up with it. And I'm grateful that she pointed that out, because it was certainly a shadow part of me that I wasn't really fully owning. Now, there may be other shadow parts that you can identify. So let's say as a child, you were really exuberant and very creative and out there and wanted to put on skits, or were singing all the time, or laughing full out loud, laying on the floor, you know, just really happy. And then you were told, you're too loud, you're too much, you're too big, you know, just tone it down. And lo and behold, you were putting that into the basement of your mind. And we're not daring anymore to be that, you know, artistic, that creative, that expressive. Or maybe there was a time where you were showing your emotions through crying, very emotive, very sensitive, and anything that happened really touched you deeply. And then you were told you are too sensitive. You're crying all the time. Boys don't cry. Don't be a crybaby. Whatever you heard. And once again, that part of you got pushed down into your subconscious mind. So you see, the shadow is not just something that, you know, is always connected to a dysfunctional or destructive force inside of you. It can also be some very elemental parts of you that you are not allowing yourself to express, because early on you were pretty much shown that this is not acceptable. This is not how you get love and approval. And what happens then is that you become kind of the opposite of what you have suppressed. You know, a person who has suppressed their wanting, their needy part, becomes very independent, and maybe also sometimes a caretaker who never asks for anything. The person who suppresses their anger and their willingness to stand up for themselves can also become someone who just swallows and again adjusts, maybe becomes a chameleon, because it's more important to fit in than to just assert oneself. A person who has been really, you know, creative and expressive may become someone who just is more quiet, says, okay, my emotions cannot really just be shown, so I'm just gonna focus on what I think, I'm gonna gauge what is expected to me, how to behave, what to say, and that's how I'm gonna get through life. And there are certainly there are other aspects. Maybe, you know, you had a trauma, and because you were not really allowed, or you didn't feel safe, or maybe you just felt that no one really cares to share this trauma with, this trauma became one of your shadows. See, the shadow, as I said also about my anger, does come out, but it doesn't come out in a conscious way. It just blows up. It blows up with this, you know, maybe actions and behaviors that all of a sudden overtake you. Or it can also come out in ways that, you know, you would say make you feel that all of a sudden, you know, you don't know yourself anymore because you're projecting onto others. So, you know, if you are suppressing, for example, a side that is in need, and you feel like, well, I know I need to be very independent, you may project onto other people that are in need that they're lazy, or that they, you know, should better take care of themselves, or that they're pathetic because they are showing what they want. And so this is not something that the shadow is literally in that those recesses of our mind and having no effect on us. It does affect us, but it creates something inauthentic, incongruent. It makes us feel like, well, I have this side that I really like and that everyone else appreciates. And then there is this, you know, Mr. Hyde side that all of a sudden just, you know, comes out and makes me feel, think, or do the way, things that I don't really understand. And that maybe is, you know, a really good analogy, this Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, because there is maybe a Mr. Hyde in all of us that is something we don't have to be afraid of, but we have to pay attention to. And that's what's going to be the next step. You know, a few weeks ago, I talked about the topic of masculinity and how so many are struggling with what it means to be a man. And there's a lot of misinformation about the role of a man. And I think this is a great example of how shadow can be created, not only in our childhood, but also later on in our lives. And I mentioned examples where, you know, young, sensitive, and really caring men are told that they are, you know, too weak, that showing sensitivity is failure. There are so many things that society and these loud voices are telling us in a very black and white way. This is good, then you're a winner, then you are acceptable, and this is bad, and this needs to be suppressed, and this needs to be beaten out of you, that in the end, we just end up feeling not only confused, but we also feel completely disconnected from ourselves. But see, what happens is that we also have at the same time a part of us that wants to be seen, that wants to be appreciated, maybe even admired. At least it wants to be a part of those that it looks up to or that it really feels close to. And that part of us is the ego. There's nothing wrong with the ego. It's only always a problem when it just, you know, rules everything and, you know, is not really in alignment with other aspects of ourselves. But the ego, whether it's the ego that tries to protect us when we are younger, or the ego that says, well, now I'm an adult and now I have to, you know, be the person that is whatever you call it, you know, whether it's successful, whether it's, you know, a good person, whether it's a winner, whatever those things are. Just the ego wants to ultimately fit in and stand out all at the same time, but stand out in a good way, that people look at you and then say, whoa, okay, this is, you know, just such an amazing human being. And so the ego quickly identifies anything that doesn't really get what it needs. It doesn't get you appreciation if you're acting in a way that, you know, the collective says, ooh, no, we don't want that. if you are, you know, too much of something that just feels maybe threatening to others. Again, the ego says, oh, look, all these people are turning away from you. They're criticizing you. They're rejecting you. Let's get rid of that, what, you know, obviously they don't like. And so the shadow sides of us are the sides of us basically we are deeming as not okay. And then the ego says that this needs to be put away so that others are okay with us, that others at least don't abandon us. So it's not really about who am I? The question is, who do I need to be in order for them to want to be around us? And in that regard, you could say that we are way more interested in playing the role of whatever, you know, we deem as acceptable or likable than really asking ourselves, so who am I really? And that is, I think, one of the greatest tragedies in our lives. And that is also a reason why so many people do feel anxious, because they don't feel like they can be themselves, depressed, because they feel like they have to suppress so many aspects of themselves, insecure, because you don't find the safety within themselves. And ultimately, you know, they're rejecting themselves because they feel like, well, if others would really know who we are, then they definitely wouldn't love us. So why shouldn't we be afraid of our shadow? Because our shadow is not our enemy. It is not something to be ashamed of. It actually holds our truth. Or how Carl Jung says, one does not become enlightened by imagining figures of light. One becomes enlightened by making the darkness conscious. And I think that's really important to see, that the work with a shadow doesn't have to be this, you know, difficult, painful, and ultimately, you know, shame evoking, oh, I need to really clean up this basement, then finally I can invite someone home. It doesn't have to be that. It can simply be an excursion to discover more about yourself, to be open and realize, wow, there is something inside of me that I have really kind of, you know, not dared to be, not dared to express. And now that I know what that is, I understand what I always was looking for outside of me is actually something that has been waiting to be revealed and shared with the world inside of me. In my book, The Empowerment Solution, I talk about the innocence and the loss of innocence and how a part of us that loses the innocence because of an early trauma, like a rejection or maybe a, you know, a real clear sign of conditional love, how that innocent side of us just says, okay, I'm just going to hide out until it's maybe safe to come out. And there is a beautiful, you know, inner work piece in the book that helps you to bring back that gift of your innocent self that you may have actually always felt was there, but you didn't really dare to bring to the surface, to bring to the forefront. So if you have shadow pieces that you feel like, well, I suppressed always my anger, I didn't dare to speak up, well, maybe that shadow piece is something that you will find helps you to set more clear boundaries and also really advocate more for yourself. Maybe another shadow piece is jealousy. No, I don't dare to be jealous, but maybe that jealousy is a part of you that also says, like, I do have unmatched desires and I have a right to try to get those desires fulfilled. So just looking at others and wondering why they have all the things that I want, well, maybe your jealousy is a sign that you're not feeling deserving of getting the things that you want, and it can really help you to heal that lack of self-worth. Or maybe again, this, you know, sensitivity, that empathy, that caring for others that you have deemed as too weak, too soft. Maybe that's a side of you that actually needs to be addressed because it makes you more relatable. It makes you feel more connected. And it may actually bring you into a direction of what is really your passion and your purpose in life. So see this journey to your shadow as something really exciting, not a journey on a, you know, ghost train into the darkness, but in the journey into, whoa, there are so many treasure boxes down in my subconscious basement, and I'm just going to open them up and see what I can find. And there's definitely a lot of really powerful and beautiful things to find. But how do you even know if you have a shadow? Maybe you think like, no, I have no shadow. I am only light. I am just whole. I have been like myself for the last 50 years, so there's nothing else to discover. I know who I am. And well, that's probably already a tell that you haven't really spent a lot of time searching. So a simple way of searching for that shadow aspect of yourself is writing down, take a piece of paper, take a pen, and write down something like, I'm the kind of person who, and then you're just gonna come up with 5 to 10 things that jump into your mind. I'm the kind of person who always keeps things together. I'm the kind of person who is always reliable. I'm the kind of person who puts other people first. I'm the kind of person who never gives up. And just come up with your own examples of what you believe you are. And then write down underneath the opposite, something that you actually never want to admit, or something you find completely ludicrous. This is not who I am. So I'm the kind of person who is falling apart. I'm the kind of person who can also really make themselves more important than others. I'm the kind of person who is actually, you know, let's say flaky. I'm the kind of person who is rather afraid of things not going right. And I'm the kind of person who is afraid that he's not good enough. Whatever those things are that are the opposite, write them down as well. And then without really judging it, just notice which of those statements has a resonance with you. See, when I did this exercise, when I wrote down the opposite, it was almost something that felt like a liberation. It felt like, whew, it feels actually nice to admit to myself that I also can be selfish, or that I also can be angry, and that I also can be impatient, and that I also can be judgmental, and all those things that, you know, I didn't necessarily want to see myself as, they also simultaneously exist inside of me. It's a little bit like the yin and the yang, right? Without the other, they are not really whole. And so not judging yourself, but seeing that these are aspects of yourself that you may not necessarily advertise to others, but you need to acknowledge for yourself with compassion, with curiosity, with commitment to dig in deeper and ask yourself what they want. So ask this part of you that feels, let's say, just also flaky and doesn't want to always be on top of everything and always have to have it together. What does this part really want? Maybe it just wants to sometimes let go and not always be responsible and reliable. Maybe it wants just a break and play. Maybe it just wants to be taken care of. Or the part of you that just wants to be selfish and put yourself first. Maybe this part feels hungry, hungry for nourishment, for, you know, just self, you know, something that pleases you, something that you really want, but you always have postponed because other things are, or other people are more important. Just get into those parts of you and ask yourself also where they come from. What is, you know, the first time those parts of you came to existence, where they were suppressed, where they learned to believe that who they are and what they represent is not okay. Now, this is something that you don't have to do in one setting. You can just focus on one aspect. And then when you are, you know, getting connected to this part of you, you may just spend some time thinking about it, journaling about it, closing your eyes, connecting to it. But you don't have to immediately integrate this part of you. You don't have to necessarily know all the answers, but you have opened the door. You have made a connection. And in a second or third sitting with this process, you can then also simply ask this part of you, and you will be surprised how spontaneously the answers come up, what it really would like you to do to bring it more to the light, what it really would help it to feel more seen and valued and a part of your wholeness. So as you go through the process of just bringing to the surface, into the light, those aspects that were kind of not only hidden, but actually lost, you will feel that there is a greater peace inside of you. There is a sense that the pieces that were missing are coming back. There is also an empowerment about it because you realize that whatever you were putting away into the shadow, it wasn't really your idea. It wasn't really that, you know, this is something that you necessarily initiated. Well, in some ways you did it, but of course it was more pushed upon you. It was more like that expectation or pressure from the outside that made you do that. And so if you are letting yourself be the owner of those shadow parts and you're choosing to integrate them, even though you were told in the past they're not acceptable, you literally become the leader of your life. And you make your own opinion about yourself. You make your own integrity with yourself. You make your own connection to yourself more important than being accepted or fitting in with others. That's a big step. Doesn't mean you become antisocial or uncaring. It actually means that you finally care about yourself and that you're telling yourself that who you are is enough. And those who don't want to accept your truth, your authentic self, they are not good matches for you. But there will be plenty of others that will accept, appreciate, embrace you for that, because you cannot really feel loved by others if you're hiding most of yourself in the shadow. So I hope this helps you to see the shadow, actually the shadow work, not as a chore, a cleanup duty that makes you finally then lovable to others, but something that really you and everyone else needs to do in order for them to become that, what you really want. You want to be your true self and come from the fullness of yourself and not from a fragmented or somehow voided self. And that is what real peace and what also real fulfillment feels like. It's not coming from the outside. It's not coming from anything anyone can give to you. It's something that we can create and give to ourselves. And it's the greatest gift that we can share first with ourselves. And then obviously the wholeness of who we are, we can share with others as the greatest gift. So if this helped you, if this inspired you, if this is something that you have thoughts about or comments, please write them in the comment section. Click the like button, subscribe to my channel. It really means the world to me, and it's inspiring to me to continue to share a little wisdom on empowerment solutions that I always love to give to you.
Hi, Dr. Friedman here. Thank you for tuning into my YouTube channel. If you're interested in learning more about fear and anxiety, here you'll find guided meditations, webinars, and interviews with some of the most renowned experts in the field of empowerment. Delve into the over 230 videos and more to come every week.